We have had January, and here's what God has been just speaking to me over this last few weeks, is that we've had January, and January's a month of what we're going to do. Ever find that? Going to go to the gym, you know, going to lose a load of weight, going to go on a good diet, and probably the chances are that has all fallen by the wayside. You know, it probably has. If it hasn't, you should write a book and sell it because you'll make some money. That's what you should do. So for me, February then is when we actually do what we're going to do. You know, it's just it's when it gets real. And I feel like February for me is when it gets real and I decide, you know, what is this really going to look like? Because I don't want to just keep it up for a few weeks. I don't want to be just, you know, create a new habit and then it dies as if it never happened. And I don't want anybody to ever ask me, are you still doing that thing? Because it gets embarrassing. But February is when it gets real and we make the decision of, right, okay, this is what I'm going to do. And so for me, as I've been praying over the last few months, I felt God saying we need to remind ourselves that we are people on mission. And so I just want to speak for the next few weeks on mission, and that February will be our mission month, where we would say to ourselves, you know what, we are people on mission. We have a purpose. God has a plan for our lives. We are going somewhere. We are like, I don't know, like the Mission Impossible, Tom Cruise. We know what it is. We're ready to go for it. And it is clear, it is concise, and we're after it. And so for the next few weeks, that's what I want to share about. That's what I declare. We just come out of 21 days of prayer and fasting. And it says, as Jesus came out, we looked at it last week. He went in full of the Holy Spirit, and he came out empowered by the Holy Spirit. He was powerful in the Holy Spirit. And that is God's plan for our lives. Now, if you went for the fasting, but even if you didn't, because you're part of this body and because you're part of this fellowship and because you're part of this church, something has been changing inside of your heart. And so it has to get out. If you keep it inside, you just, I don't know, you get it like a balloon. You're just going to get blow up. But we want you to get it out. And so mission is how you're going to do it, by fulfilling the mission and the call of God on your life. This is what Luke chapter 4, 18 to 19 says. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. It's in the verses part, Joel, in the playlist. You'll notice it under the songs. But it says this is what Jesus speaks, and he brings it from the Old Testament because this is an old prophetic word that is given to the people, but then Jesus is the fulfillment of it. And this is what he says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And this is what God sent over you today. This is what the Lord has sent over us today. As Jesus came out of that 40 days of just water, of just fasting, as he came out of it, this is what he declares to everyone. He says he opened up the book, he read these words, and then he closed the book, and he says, that's me. That is who I am. Because he was confident in his identity, and he was confident in his mission, and he was confident in his purpose. And that is what God is looking to do into each and every one of our hearts, where we will be confident in our mission and confident in our purpose. Because he has anointed you, and the Spirit of the Lord is upon you, and he is in you to make a difference through you. And he wants you to affect people's lives. He wants you to bring transformation. And so we are going to think about this. I'm on a mission. And it's important that we remind ourselves we're on a mission, because otherwise we'll find ourselves not on a mission. I want to tell you a funny story from a few weeks ago. We were going to IKEA. Now, if you go to IKEA without a mission, you're going to buy things you don't need, and you're going to forget the things that you do need. Trust me, that's what's going to happen. But we went with a mission, so it was all good. We were down in Belfast. We were there. We had a mission to get some things for Community Hub downstairs. We had to get a few wee extra bits and bobs. It was clear. We had a plan. I was going to be the timekeeper. We had 20 minutes. You know that sounds impossible. It kind of was, but we can do all things through Christ. So we were praying and believing. And I was like, Nikki, keep moving, keep moving. So I was the person who was just going to keep coaching, and she was going to keep picking. You know, she was just going to grab the things that we need. So we went into IKEA. Now, I thought going in, sometimes you set a good plan, but God says that you can set your plans, but I know what's really going on. And so we set the plan. We said, we're going into IKEA. Here's the list of things we need to get. We've got 20 minutes. We're going to make it happen. You don't realize it takes about 10 minutes just to even walk into the place from your car. You're going to have to sprint. So we're running. We get into the place, and then you got to do that zigzag lap thing. And you're looking at the staff, and you're thinking to yourself, where are they going through? Because they're doing shortcuts. We're trying to get through the shortcuts. We're trying to get all those things. I realized very quickly, this mission is going to fail badly. But if we stick to it, we're going to get out better, quicker than we normally would. So we did. I think we got about 29 minutes, 30 minutes, something like that. I think that was really good. So, but we had a clear mission. We had a clear focus. We knew what we were trying to do. And we got there in the end. And I think that's the same for our lives. Not that we all want to become soldiers, But I think it's important that we remind ourselves that there is a mission on our lives. And even, can I just even suggest this? There is a unique calling on your life, but I think sometimes we can get so obsessed and concerned with that that we forget our ultimate mission, which is to go and reach the poor, go and open the blind eyes, go and preach the good news, go and make a difference. In other words, just be who God has created you to be. And so I want to encourage you this morning. Yes, there's a unique call in your life. Yes, there's a unique purpose on your life. But do not forget, there is a big mission on your life. And everywhere you go, God is looking for you to fulfill it. So we are people that are on a mission. We're not people that just do a mission. Ever find yourself thinking to yourself, well, you know what, if I just go to that homeless thing on Monday night, that will sort me for the next year. You know, sometimes that's where we can find ourselves. If I just do that one thing, then that's me sorted for the next year. And God says, don't deprive yourself of all that I have. You are better than that, and I've got you for so much more than that. I want to read a couple of verses this morning to encourage your heart and just to remind you of what Jesus is talking about. Right at the start of his ministry, he says this in Luke chapter 5, verse 10. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to them, don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people. They were fishermen. And God said to them, Jesus said to them, you're not going to fish for fish anymore. You're going to fish for people. Let's go. It's time to go. Now watch what they did. So they pulled their boats up to the shore, left everything, and followed him. I mean, maybe fishing was on the downturn and they were looking to get out of it. Maybe they were sick of it. But I think they found something better and they decided to themselves, we want to follow him. We want to go for him. I think it's important to note, just as we're stepping into this morning, that they were busy working, that they were faithful, that they had their own business. But when they found Jesus, they thought, seems like even better. Seems like even better. And I encourage you this morning, that wherever you find yourself, not everyone's leaving their business, because if we do, then who's going to reach the people in the business world? Not everyone's going out full-time missionary, because then who's going to reach the rest? But everybody's got to do their part, and everybody's got to listen to heaven, and everybody's got to follow Jesus, and that's what he's asking us to do. What is our number one mission? To follow him. What is your number one mission this morning? Maybe let's just ask you that. Where are you going this year? What is your plan? Where are you going? Because we know January, forget it. You know, they were good ideas, but they didn't really materialize. If they did, keep going. Amen. But for you, for most of us, or maybe just me, I'm reassessing. Because sometimes the 20 minutes for IKEA was unrealistic. But what really am I trying to get to? What really am I going after? And then the second question I encourage you to ask your heart this morning is why? What is it that I'm after? And then why? What's the reason for it? Is it because I want this? Is it because, you know, I just want a better job? Is it I just want this money, or I just want to get this thing, or any of those? And all of those things are fine, but I want us to ask the biggest question. Where does God want me to go? Where is he leading me to? Is my focus him, or is it something else? Because Jesus said right from the beginning, I want to do the will of the Father. That is the way to a purposeful life. That is the way to a full life. That is the way to the best life you could ever possibly have. That won't just exclude work. That won't exclude yourself just saying I can't be around anybody. But it will be unique to you, and it will be after him, because you're saying to yourself, I want to follow Jesus. And then at the end of his life, did Jesus change his tune? Did he decide, you know what, maybe that wasn't a good idea. Maybe I should have went after a few other adventures. Maybe I should have went after a few other dreams. He says, no. He says right at the end of Matthew 28, we'll just paraphrase 18 to 20. It says this, where Jesus says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. This is what he's asking us to do. At the beginning, he's saying, come follow me. At the end, he says, keep going for me. So at the beginning, he says, come watch what I'm doing. I've come to seek and to save the lost. I've come to make a difference. I know I've been a carpenter for a while. I know I've helped my father for a while. I know I'm in the world and I'm still doing things in the world. But my ultimate purpose is to seek and to save the lost. And then at the end of his life, he charges his disciples, and he doesn't come out with a unique call for each and every one of them in terms of the big call. He says, no, this is the call for the church. This is a call for your life this morning. Go and make disciples. Go and make disciples. Now, to help that become more useful in your thinking, I want to show you what the Greek says for go. It's really, really easy. It's not like go and do this or go and do that, as if it would be an event. So yeah, definitely on Monday nights, we better get down to the homeless guys every single Monday night. Otherwise, I'm going to be a bad Christian and I'm not going to fulfill the Great Commission, because that's what we're talking about this morning. No, it's not like that at all. But better translated in our English, if we don't do it full justice, better translated is as you are going. make disciples. As you are going to Tesco's, share the good news. As you are going to work, make a difference. As you are going to your family get-togethers, share about the good things that God is doing in your life. As you are going in your car, pray for the people that you see around you. As you are going, just make a difference. Help. You're on mission all of the time. So it's not about going on mission, it's that you're on a mission. Literally, your whole life is a mission. And so it's important that we ask ourselves the question, what am I aiming for? Where am I going? I want to follow him. I mean, that's what we're supposed to do as Christians. I know it seems too simple. I know it seems like it's just too easy. But literally, that is what we're supposed to do as Christians. Follow Jesus. What does he ask us to do? What does the word tell us to do? Where is he calling me? I want to follow him. I encourage you, don't overthink it. Simply follow him. Where is he leading you? Where is he taking you? But I think that's really helpful from Matthew 28 when we realize that it's as we are going rather than a one-off event or one-off thing or one-off this. Now, let me tell you about our missions trips because I'm not against missions trips. Let me tell you the real heart. You see, when we realize that it's as we are going, then we love missions trips because when we go there, it's a realization of, wow, if God can do it here, he can do it back home. If God can use me out here, what could he not do with me back home? Can I encourage you what happened for us as a church in the early days when we were just young adults and we never thought we were coming to this place? It was just a dream in our hearts. It was just something like, oh my goodness, it's just too scary. We went on mission trip. I mentioned it a few weeks ago, but we went on trips. We went to the Philippines. We went to South Africa. We literally went wherever they'd let us in. That's where we went. Wherever we had enough money, and if they let us into the country, we were there. We were there. And here's the great thing about going on missions. If you go on a specific missions trip, you can be who you want to be in the right sense. You know, so if you are thinking to yourself, man, I feel like I could be bolder for God, but I'm worried that if I step out, my friends are going to go, who are you? You know, like, what have you done? And sometimes we can be a bit critical like that, not encouraging. But when you go on missions, you can suddenly burst out of your bubble and say, you know what, I'm praying for a person today. I'm going to share my faith today. I'm going to find one person, and I'm just going to tell them my life story. You know, it's just like, you can go for it. And you've got the safety net of, they don't know who I am, and they'll probably never see me again. It's okay. You know, and so you can go for it. You can act like Mr. Bean if you want to. It's going to be fine. It's going to be okay. But that's the lovely side of missions. But it's not to tick a box for the year, but it's to transform your life so you're never the same again. And that's what we find at missions. And over this month, I'm going to continue to speak about missions, not only the mission we've got at home, but the missions that we have opportunity to do overseas, because I believe that if you take a step of faith, it will transform your life. And it's not just for a certain age group. It's for everyone. It's for everyone. When we went on mission, this is what always came back. Could we do this at home? I didn't know living for God was so exciting. I didn't think God still did miracles today. Do you know the only thing that was different from there to here? This is the only thing that was different, is that we woke up every day with a direct expectation that, I wonder what God's going to do. God, I wonder what you're going to do through me. In fact, you know what? We actually got dangerous in our prayers and we said, God, use me today. And we said, God, give me opportunity today. And we actually got prepared for it. And we would write our testimonies out before we went for fear that someone would ask us spur of the moment and we would be ready to go because it would not look good if we weren't ready to go. It would be like car crash. And that's the differences. Just simple preparation, an expectation in our hearts. But when we go there, what do we always find? We find as we went, we would come home different. We would say, God, I wonder, could you use me the same way as you did over there? Could you use me here? And if you go for it, suddenly you realize God can. Can I encourage you that we're everywhere we go, we're on mission. Everywhere we go, we're sharing the good news. Everywhere we go, we make a difference, even when we're not trying. Even when we're not trying. Because Acts chapter 19 tells us that in the early days of the disciples, their very shadow would transform people's lives. Did you know that everywhere you go, you're bringing transformation? But I want to encourage you that if you remind yourself that you're on mission and that you're on a mission and you're in a mission, you will have an even more effective work. You will have an even more effective purpose. Your life will be even more effective for the things of God. Your mindset will be even more transformed. The actions and the ways that God can move through your life will be even more increased because God has more. You're a person on missions. He has called you to this and he wants you to go for him. He wants you to transform. He wants you to transform. I want to give us three keys this morning of why we should go on missions just for a few minutes. First one is this. Nothing else compares. Just nothing else compares. To live a life for God, to go after him, where he's our priority, where every day we're living for what can I do for the kingdom of God, can I tell you that nothing ever compares? I want to read the early part of Luke chapter 5. We read the last part, verse 10. I want to give you the context of the story of why the guys left and what they left to go after Jesus. This is what it says. Luke chapter 5, verse 4. It says, when they had finished speaking. So what happens is Jesus comes to speak in the village. He comes to speak in the town. He says to the fisher guys, could I jump in your boat? Could we push offshore for a tiny bit? I want to share the good news. I want to share the good news of God. And I want to see some people's lives transformed. And so that's what happens. But then just after that, it says, when they had finished speaking, when Jesus finished speaking, he said to Simon, pull out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Now, Jesus has just spoken, and now he's thinking about, let's go do a bit of fishing. Can I assure you, Jesus is not keen on fishing. He's trying to show something else. Can I assure you that it's not really about that? And it's the same in our lives, some of the things that we're going through. It's not really about that. God's just trying to catch your heart. Simon answered, he said, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, we will let down our nets. Good thing to remember. Sometimes God's going to ask you to do things you don't want to do, but obedience is greater than sacrifice. And they were obedient to him because they knew his authority was greater than their authority. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. This is a story that I'm sure you know so, so well. But it's a wonderful story of just multiplication, increase of what Jesus can do, his authority, his unbelievable power. And then at the end of it, he says, and now guys, now that your business has had the best day ever, would you sacrifice that, give that up, and come follow me? And in a heartbeat, they pull their boats up into the shore and they say, let's go, let's go. So is this a story of God just trying to say, hey, I know a lot of fishermen are going to read this book, so I'm going to put this fisherman story in? No, not really. Is it because Jesus is really into fishing and he just wants to have another chance to fish and he wants to show them that he's a master fisherman and better than them? No, not really. But what he's looking to show us is this, is that nothing compares to him. Because even on your best day, if he gives you the calling to go, you say yes. Even on your best day, no matter what you're going through, no matter if you've had the best sales that day, you've had the best year, your business has went through the roof, everything has worked out the way you anticipated, everything you planned happened, and even better, if Jesus calls you, it's like, yes, Lord, where do we go? And his encouragement for us this morning is that he is so much better than you think. His encouragement to your heart this morning is that he's so much greater than you can possibly imagine. Can you do your work and follow him? Absolutely. Are there times where you might have to give up some things to follow after him? Absolutely. But he is so much better in every way. He is so much better in every way. Nothing else compares. And when we put that up against the overflow of the fish, when we put that up against the incredible catch that they just had, it had no comparison to Jesus because his call is the greatest call. Can I assure you this morning, as men and women of people of God, and if you're a Christian this morning, and even if you're not, the greatest call in your life is to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. The greatest call of your life is to be a fisher of man. He said, you can do that. You can have a blessed business. You can catch fish for the rest of your life, or you can step out and start to catch people, catch men, catch women, catch all sorts of people out there who need saved, and that's the best life. That's the best life. So wherever we find ourselves, wherever we are in school, in work, on the streets, in the shopping center, wherever we find ourselves, as you are going, make disciples. As you are going, share your story. As you are going, you will naturally just share of the goodness of God. But do not be silent. Do not be closed off. And do not forget your mission, or it's going to be like IKEA. You're going to leave with what you need, leave things you didn't need and forget the things that you really did need. God is calling us into deeper things. Second thing this morning is that the mission wants to find you. This is the thing about God. It's like, no matter what you do, this mission is ongoing. Let me tell you that. No matter what we do, this mission is going to happen, but he wants you to be a part of it. And God says, it is time. The harvest time is now. People are ready now. Who doesn't want to hear about a good God? Maybe they've heard about a bad God. Who doesn't want to hear about forgiveness, about love, about grace? Who doesn't want to hear about the good things of Jesus? And watch what happens when we share. Even if we are rejected, who cares? Because we are sharing something that will be life transformational. And as we do it, the Holy Spirit is able to move, and he's able to draw. But here's what I find in my life, is that no matter about the days when I forget or not forget, the mission is ongoing. But if I don't plug in with it, if I don't partake with it, I am missing out on so much because his mission is ongoing. We were down last weekend, a few of us down a weekend or two ago down in Dublin. There was a bit of a conference thing going on. And this guy gets up and he shares this incredible story. And I may not remember it all, but I'll hopefully get to the main point. So forgive me on that. If you meet the real person, he'll tell you the truth. I'll tell you half the truth, but I'm trying my best. So this is a story from one of the pastors down in Galway. And he said that they had this guy called Liam. He gets wonderfully saved. I think he'd come from a bit of an addiction background or something like that. And he gets wonderfully saved. It's not really about that, but it's that he gets saved. And he's on his way, and I think he's in the church van, and he's doing things for the church. And he's just going about his normal business. And he's working for the church. And as he goes along this day, someone runs out into the middle of the road, and they stop him. And he's like, whoa, okay. And so they stop him in his tracks, and they're right in front of him. And he shouts, so he goes, everyone all right? And they go, yeah, everyone's all right, but there's someone that's in trouble in the house. There's someone in trouble in the house. I think they're dying or something's going on. He's like, oh, okay, have you phoned the ambulance? So he gets pretty practical. He says, have you phoned the ambulance? And they said, yeah, yeah, we phoned the ambulance. So he's like, okay, cool, you know, no worries. He's going to say, see you soon. And they're like, no, 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 you don't understand. We want you to come in and pray. He's like, what? We want you to come and pray. And I think the person even turns around and says, we've been expecting you. We've been waiting for you. I mean, it sounds like the Bible. And so Liam, I think he's at this point, he's a bit starstruck. Hopefully he's moved the van from the middle of the road to the side of the road. But he gets into the house, and he goes to pray with this person that turns out to be a woman. So he goes in, and he can tell that she's just in like really poor condition. She's just really poorly, really ill. Ambulance is on the way, but it's not there yet. And so he goes into the room, and suddenly she just like pops up or says something. She basically just says, hey, I've been waiting for you. Now, in his kindness of his heart, he's like, oh, poor woman's delusional, you know, like this thing is just like, it's not working out well type of thing. And it's who knows what's happening. She's very poorly. She's very ill. And so he goes, okay, yeah, I'll pray for you. She goes, no, I need you to pray for me. He goes, okay. So he's trying to be kind. And he says, okay, what do you want prayer for? She says, I've been waiting for you. I want to get saved. And you're like, what? Because the mission is always going on. It's do we choose to partake in it? Do we choose to be willing and obedient at the moments where God's calling us? And so he begins to pray with this woman. He prays with her, just do a simple prayer time together. She gives her life to Jesus. The ambulance, I think, is still on the way. I think you can hear it. It's just about to come through the door. She just sits back down, takes her last breath, and away she goes. You're like, whoa, imagine, like, he's just driving, he's just trying to do his daily things, he's probably doing things for the church, person runs out in front, and they get his attention, thankfully he stops, and thankfully he goes into the room, and thankfully he believes the woman, and thankfully he prays for her, and another person is finding heaven forever. You see, the mission is always going on. The job is, can we play our part? Can we jump into what God's calling us into? Can we be the people that steps into it? Because the mission is ongoing, and he needs us to step into it. And it's not about giving up everything, although that is part of it. I'll not disillusion you. That is part of it. But God is calling us this morning to say, hey, wherever you find yourself, start off, just share your faith. Start off, just talk about your faith. Start off, just share hope. Just share love. That is what our world is crying out for. They need to hear of the good things that our God is doing for us. Do you know what I find? Is that we have so much good stuff that's going on in here and so many good things going on, and we're sharing our praise reports and we're praying all of that stuff. And you know what? It is great for us, but sometimes we even take it for granted. We need to get that stuff outside to say, hey, we serve a loving God. We serve a forgiving God. We serve a wonderful God. This is why God said, I want you to be part of this mission, because the people out there so desperately need it, and maybe even some hearts today need it. But if we're not bold in our faith with love, with generosity, with kindness, even with our time, how else will they hear? He was just driving along. Someone runs out in front of the road and says, stop. I'm so glad he stopped. Maybe God needs to run out in the middle of the road in front of you some days. Maybe he needs to run out in the middle of your thinking today and say, would you stop. I know you've got somewhere to go. You will get there. But I need you to go to this house. I need you to go here. I need you to make a difference there. Because people are dying and because I love them and I want you to do something for them. I want you to share your hope. I want you to share your heart. I want you to share what you have in Christ. This is our simple mission. Never, ever forget it. Don't get distracted from it. Finally, this morning, I want to read a few more verses, share a few more thoughts. Why do we share and why do we go on this mission? Because we're compelled by love. I want to read a few verses this morning. I want to read a good portion, but I want you to stay with me because I feel like God wants to pour this out over your heart. We are compelled by love. It's not just a good command. It's not just a good idea. We are compelled by love. It says, for Christ's love compels us, 2 Corinthians 5:14, because we are convinced that the one that died for all and therefore all died, and he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, their new creation has come. The old is gone and the new is here. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. This ministry that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, he has committed to use, and he has committed to use the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though Christ were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. We are compelled by love this morning. We are compelled by love. Now let's think of a few words as we dot them through these verses. Compelled, that means you're forced to do something. But when you add compelled by love to it, it's like it becomes your delight. Because Jesus died for us. He died for us and he poured out his love for us. And then he says, I want to compel you through love. I want to compel you through what you've already received. I want to compel you through what you've already got. I want you to go and share this. I want you to go and give this love away. I want you to take the love that you have found and give it away because it is a wonderful love that will transform people's lives. He wants us to be compelled by love. We are compelled by love. The only times we step away from that is when we say to ourselves, okay, I'm not doing that. I'm just not going for that. I encourage you. We are people on a mission. We are people in a mission. And we are compelled by love because his love has been so wonderful to us. His love has been so generous to us. It says that we are convinced. We're convinced of this. I'm convicted about it. I'm convinced about it. I'm certain about it. It's not a doubt in my mind because I know his love and I know what he has done through me. And so I'm convinced this morning. As he died for me, he died for everybody else. And so I will choose to be on mission. I will choose to be wherever I find myself. Take those opportunities. It may not be every point of every day, but I will take those opportunities, whether it be once a week or once a month. But it's got to be at least a few times in the year where I will take those opportunities and I will share of what God has done for me because he has compelled me by love. I love this part. It says, no longer live for themselves. Paul said to us this morning, we no longer live for ourselves. We no longer live for ourselves. Because of what Christ has done for us, we have chosen, we have said, you know what? Like those early disciples, I want to follow you. And so therefore I'm denying myself, I'm going to take up my cross, and I'm going to follow after you because you are the only thing worthy, because you are the only thing worth following. That is God's heart for us this morning. We're convinced and compelled. We're convinced and compelled to do that. And then at the last part in the second half of those verses, I love what it says. The ministry of reconciliation and the message of reconciliation. Now that's a big word. I'm not sure if we all understand what that word means. But let's simply break it down to this. It's about restoring friendships. It's about restoring relationships. What's God's heart for each one of us is that as we would step out in this mission, we are helping to restore broken relationships between a Heavenly Father and the people that he loves. We are helping to restore relationships from a heavenly father, from a son who died, for those people that don't even know him yet. Can I assure you that when you go on mission, people don't know it? Because if they did, they'd already be saved. Can I assure you this morning that if people truly understood and if they truly got it, they would be saved because his love is irresistible? Can I assure you this morning that sometimes we can't get our head around it because we're like, I don't even know what my life would look like without Jesus. That is because you are alive. That is because the veil has been lifted. That is because you are not dead any longer and you can see clearly. But we've got to understand as we go on this mission, so many people, in fact, anyone who's outside of Christ, they just can't process it. They just can't see it. So they need the revelation of the Holy Spirit. But it's as we share what he's done for us, then suddenly they go, wow, really? Really? Can I share one more story for you this morning? Lady working for an abortion clinic. She was working for this abortion clinic for years. Didn't see anything wrong, didn't care anything about it, just doing her job. She didn't reference anything. It was no big deal to her. But then she would always notice coming into work, all these Christians. This over in America, she would notice all these Christians, and they would be just, you know, speaking out against her. I'm sure not all of them are Christians. Some of them were just pro-lifers. They weren't Christians. But sometimes the kind of communication was not helpful. You know, sometimes it was just like, oh, that's disgusting what you're doing. That's awful what you're doing. But genuinely, the woman, she wasn't even really processing it. Now, I know we find that hard to believe because God is revealing things to us and we have the power of the Holy Spirit, and so we see things differently. But for her, she didn't see it. She didn't really see what the big issue is. She's doing a job. Then she said in her testimony, of course she gets saved later on, but she says in her testimony that what she noticed one day was a couple other people came to picket. But they weren't picketing like everybody else. They were different. They were giving me words of encouragement. It felt like they wanted to get to know me. She said what started to happen over the next few weeks was every day I would come to work and they would be there for me. Some days they would get me coffee. They would just give me encouraging words. And I'd be like, are these guys here to protest against us or are they here to love me? She couldn't figure this thing out. But what she started to realize was she started to say to herself, man, I'm not sure if I like this work anymore. Suddenly something started to change in her heart and started to change in her mind, and she started to process and go, man, I don't even think this is a good idea. Are we really doing what we're saying we're doing? Before, she never noticed it. She worked for years, never noticed it. But what happens is, as those Christians came alongside and they started to show love, started to show kindness, what does it do? It is an injection against the powers of darkness. It is the antidote. Suddenly what she didn't see, now she starts to see. Suddenly where she didn't feel, where she was numb, where she had no love, where she could see no life, now suddenly she's going, wow, this is terrible. I'm involved in this. I don't know if I want to be here. I don't know if this is healthy. I'm not sure if some of the reasons for the abortions are wise or good or even right. She started to think completely differently. By the end of it, she went out to some of those people and says, hey, I don't know what's happened, but ever since you've come, I've started to feel things I never did. I've started to think things I never did. They got to pray with her. She got saved. Guys, can I encourage you this morning? We cannot get dismayed because we're not seeing the fruit of our work. We've got to understand that people don't understand. Can we get that this morning? We've got to understand that people don't understand. We've got to understand that they cannot see clearly the way that we see. They cannot see the way that we can see. But we do, and we are the ones with the anointing. Remember, we have been anointed for such a time as this. Remember, we are called to reach the poor. Remember, we are called to open the blind eyes. This is what Jesus has done and wants to do through us. He is here for us this morning. But we're not just going to do a mission. We're on a mission. We are in a mission. And as we go, we're going to make disciples. It's just who we are. As we go, we're going to share our faith. It's just who we are. As we go, we're going to pray for people. And we're going to see impact. It's just who we are. Can I encourage you this morning? Do not get distracted from your mission, because God is looking to move through your life. Let's stand together. We're going to pray this morning. Thank you, Lord. All this month, we'll talk about missions till we're blue in the face. But I want you to get it, that God has a plan and he wants to work through you. And it's delightful and it's encouraging, and you will make a difference in people's lives. But maybe this morning you're here and you need a jump start. And that's fine. You need a jump start. We're going to pray the Holy Spirit's going to jump start you. That's fine. Totally fine. He'll bring it and he will anoint you and he will bless you and he will remind you. But we are here because we want to be followers of Christ. Now, can I just make it real simple? That if you're not following Christ and you're not doing the things of Christ, then you've got to ask yourself, how well am I following Christ? Do we have to do it in our own strength? Absolutely not. But we've got to do it through His strength. We've got to at least try. We've got to at least ask Him. We've got to at least say, Jesus, give me opportunity. We've got to at least pray about it. And so maybe you're at the one end of the spectrum. It's like, I don't even know where to start. Totally fine. But you've got to pray about it this morning. You've got to ask the Lord. You've got to give your life afresh into His hands. And you've got to say, God, I don't know how I'm supposed to do this, but I know I'm supposed to follow You. Or maybe you're somewhere in between and you do the odd thing and you show a bit of kindness here and show a bit of kindness there. Let's turn it away from a sprinkle effect to a water effect where we're just constantly making a difference. Just constantly making a difference. And maybe you're out there and you're always making a difference. Then fantastic. Pray for the rest of us. We need your courage. We need your wisdom. This is a wisdom thing. To follow after God is the wisest thing that you can do. To follow after Jesus is the wisest thing you can do. So maybe you need a jump start. We're going to pray for that this morning. I want to remind you of some of our mission stuff coming up this year. Because again, you might need a jump start to say, hey, I need an opportunity to do something. So I want to encourage you to do it. We have Latvia coming up. We're nearly full on that. But we've still got a couple of spaces. 28th of June to the 5th of July. It's a wonderful, wonderful trip. Again, these trips are not age limited. This is for anyone. You will make an incredible difference. And here's the bottom line. God will do something wonderful in your life. He will do incredible things in your life, and you will come home different and changed. The reason why we're here today is because of short-term missions trip. We just got something changed inside of us. Something happened inside of our spirit. Something happened inside of our heart. Latvia. I mean, it's not going to happen unless you decide. I'm going to challenge you. You're going to have to take days off work, but they're going to be better than holidays. I will tell you that. You go on these mission trips, they will be better than holidays. You will come back more refreshed, more alive, more full in the things of God than you could ever believe. God will give you more holidays. Don't worry. But we got to follow after Him. 28th through 5th. If that suits you, go for it. If it doesn't, pray. Pray. Why doesn't that suit? Ask God to challenge your heart. We are called. As you're going, everywhere we go, we're ready to change. We're ready to transform. We're going to iHeart Armagh. Here is my big challenge for this year, for our hearts as a church. That as many as possible, if not everyone, is going to book the dates off. 27th of July to the 31st. Of July. That is the dates of iHeart Armagh. We have been seeing God do incredible things. We've been seeing Him do wonderful things. We're seeing multiple people come. We're seeing multiple kids come. But what we really need is the same thing as what Jesus said way back in the day. We need more workers. The harvest is ready, but we need more workers. More people just to have those conversations. More people just to find someone that they connect with. More people just to share their story with. Because you know the way your story just connects with somebody? I mean, it's the way it works. Relationships connect with other relationships. The things that you've experienced will connect with others that have been through the same experiences. 27th to the 31st of July. God's calling you for that. God's asking you to come in that. God's asking you to pray about it. We're also planning a couple more trips. We're talking about the Philippines. It may or may not happen. That's mid-August. Put that out there. Pray about it. Think about it. We're also planning another trip in September time to go to the States for about 10, 12 days. We've got multiple opportunities. Why are we doing this? Because I believe wholeheartedly that missions transform you. And it's one of the best ways for you to come back more effective for the kingdom of God here. It's not about going and just doing your duty and doing your service. You will come back ready to serve in a greater capacity here for the things of God. You will come back in greater authority. You will come back life changed. You might go wishy-washy in your faith. You will come home convicted in your faith. You might go lacking in the gifts of the Spirit, lacking in opportunities to exercise the gifts of the Spirit. You will come home razor sharp in the Spirit. You will come home ready, hearing and knowing the voice of God in ways that you never did before. Maybe you simply need a change because you need a jump start. You're going to go on that week, that 2 weeks, that few days, whatever it is, whether it be Armagh or abroad. You're going to come out of that transformed and changed. You're going to say to yourself, wow, that was better than a 10-week Bible study. That was better. That was just something different. Because when we start to walk out our faith, when we start to get around people, everything changes. God knows what He's doing. You've got to trust Him. He knows what He is doing. You've got to listen to what He asked you to do. He has commanded us, go and make disciples. Go and share your faith as you are going. Go do it. Amen. Let's pray this morning. Lord, we thank You for Your goodness. We thank You for Your kindness, Lord. We thank You for the opportunity that we get to be an ambassador for Christ. Lord, we got to get that this morning. We are an ambassador for Christ. That is, we're His representation. Any ambassador comes to the country, they've got to be good character, good rapport. They've got to be the right sort of person. They've got to reflect the original country really well. And God, this is who you've called us to be. We are ambassadors for Christ, Lord. Jesus, will you help us to up our game as we become those ambassadors? Jesus, will you help us to up our game as we step out into our faith and we step out into our missions and we step out and say, I am who I am. Lord, would you help us to go out there with boldness, with courage? Lord, give us the jump start this morning if that's what we need, and ask him for it. If this is not even resonating on your heart this morning, then pray and say, God, transform and change me, because this should be, because this is who I am. I am a Christ follower. This is what he has called me to do. Lord, will you radically move in our hearts and lives this morning? Would you radically change us? We are people on mission. And lastly, this morning, as we're praying, maybe you're not on the mission because you're not saved. Maybe you're not on the mission because you're far from God. Because you not only need a jump start, you need a new life. 2 Corinthians 5:17, like we read earlier, says, if we are in Christ, we are a new creation. But you can't be in Christ unless you're a new creation, because you've got to ask Jesus into your life. And as you do, he transforms you and he changes you.